if you were not here last week, I'm not going to be able to rehash our whole lesson from last week. We're kind of in the second part of our lesson from last week. But the basic premise of what we talked about last week is that sometimes we get so caught up in our own plans, we get so caught up in our own way of seeing things, way of doing things, that so many times I think we forget to include God in our plans. We forget that the power of God. I want to start with a verse that we started with last week, and that is Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. It says, "Now to him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in you, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." We've been told so often that if I put my mind to it, if I believe in myself, if I get at my best, that we can accomplish anything. That's kind of the American mantra, right? The American dream is that if I'm given the opportunity to do whatever that I can put my mind to, whatever I can put my spirit to, that I can accomplish anything. And while, in a sense, I guess that is true, I think that it's for the Christian, I've got to realize that the power of God has got to factor into the equation. He says here that God can do things above and beyond what even that I can even think, that I can even imagine, that I can accomplish on my own. God can do so much more. And so the question for me and the question for you may be, are we settling for our own plans? Are we settling for what we are doing on our own and thinking that that's good enough? Or am I relying on and depending on and looking for God's power to work in every situation? Because he says, according to the power that works where?
Within us.
We talked about that indwelling spirit, that indwelling power of God that works in us. One of the statements that we made toward the end of class, we talked about a bunch of people who God gave seemingly impossible tasks, or He gave them plans that seemed like they could not be accomplished. And they couldn't on their own. We talked about Moses in Egypt, and we talked about David defeating Goliath. We talked about Jericho, we talked about Gideon, we talked about all these different people that are talked about in the Old Testament that were given these tasks to do, and the whole reason that they were given them to do it in a certain way that they were given them to do was because God wanted to show His power through them. Without Gideon, what he was going to accomplish could not have happened. It worked. God's power was working through him. But obviously, it was God's power that was doing the work. If Gideon had said, "Hey, let's take 300 guys and let's go fight an army," wouldn't have turned out so well. And so we've got to think and we've got to realize that that God's power has got to enter into the equation. One of the other things that we said toward the end class was, sometimes we approach life, we approach things as if everything is up to me. If I don't accomplish it, it won't be accomplished. And what God is trying to show, is trying to accomplish through us, is that we cannot accomplish anything that is what he refers to above, anything that we ask or think, without God's power, without His help. We're going to look today just at a couple of things that kind of go along this, and we'll look at a couple of passages of Scripture to kind of cement this idea in our mind a little bit. I want you to picture and think about the disciples, the apostles, sitting in the upper room, Jesus had he had left them, and he had told them they're supposed to go to this particular place, and they're supposed to wait. What were they waiting for? I don't think they really knew, did they? Did they know what was going to happen? I don't think they did. They were waiting for something to happen. And so as they're sitting around, Peter's like, "Hey guys, I got a great idea. Why don't we start a church? What we can do is we can all go out and we'll just preach. And we'll start this church, and it'll just turn the world upside down. Here's all the plan. Hey, let's brainstorm some ideas." So they're coming up with, John's got some good ideas, and Thomas and all these guys, he died a little bit, but got all these great ideas. Not the picture we get, is it? They're sitting in a room, and they're waiting for God's power to come upon them. And I don't even know if they knew how it was going to happen or what was going to happen. Now, fast forward to a few years later. Could they have ever imagined, thought, or asked God for what eventually happened? You think they could have known the impact that they were going to have on the world? You can answer it.
No.
What? Okay, I doubt it, right? They didn't go back and say, "Guys, we worked the plan. Remember that plan we came up with in the upper room? Boy, it worked to perfection. We had a few problems here and there, but boy, we came up with all these great ideas and it all just worked just awesome. Look at what we did." As they're standing years later looking back at that day in the upper room and looking at all the events that transpired, what could they say about their role in everything that had happened? I'm making this up there. I don't know.
We allowed it to happen. That's about what they could say of their role.
It happened through us. But it wasn't us. It wasn't our power. It was not something that we did. You go through the way everything transpired. And everything from the very beginning until all the way until these guys died and left the church with the other brethren, all the things that transpired in that entire time was all God. They could look back and they could say, "You know, remember that the day of Pentecost? What a day that was! You know, when the power of the Holy Spirit came upon us." And we were able to then preach in all different languages. Man, that was pretty cool. We don't know those languages. And people were standing out, and what were the people saying about them on that particular day? Well, they were drunk. That's the first thing they said.
But they were, had they such uneducated men be so, teach them such authorities?
Immediately pointing to God. It couldn't happen without God's power.
But what they saw 20 years later was persecution. It is not. Christianity has not spread in the whole Roman Empire by the time of their death. And Constantine has not legalized Christianity yet. It happened about 100 years later. But so they have not seen what we know now looking back. There's a lot of persecution because
true.
Of that.
True. They have not seen it to its full level, like we're able to look and have a little bit better perspective. But you look at, let me just go through a few things here.
But that alone, I mean, it is one of the things that when I look back, every time they did something on their own, God had to correct them somewhat. Persecution was to drive them away from Jerusalem because he said, "I want you to go everywhere and preach." And they all stayed in Jerusalem. They didn't want to leave. It was too good a thing. They didn't want to go away from there. And so the persecution was to force them out. Yeah. And then they wanted to stay just with the Jews. They didn't grasp the concept that he said it's for everybody. And so he had to force Peter to go. Peter didn't want to go. And then, ultimately, he picked Paul, who was one of the worst persecutors of the church at all, to be the one to go to the Gentiles. Because those original guys weren't going to do it.
But do we really see Peter not wanting to go? Or just maybe not knowing that it was for them to?
I mean, he told them to. He always did. But like all the rest of his teachings, like we do as well, they didn't grasp what he was telling them. But because he said, I'm going to be, and it will be everything I taught you when the Holy Spirit comes. So I've already taught you, but they didn't grasp what he was trying to say, just like we don't most of the time. You know, I can't blame them because I'm as guilty or worse. You know, but there are times that God has to nudge us in the direction he wants us to go because we want to stay where we are.
Well, an indication of maybe, I don't know that it was maybe a rational, you know, I'm not gonna go, you know. Think about how long it took Peter to understand the idea of allowing the Gentiles into the church. God went to him and said, this is the way that I want it to be. You know, don't call anything unclean that I've made clean. And he goes and he preaches and does all those sorts of things. And then what does he end up doing just right after? Rejecting the Gentiles. Right? He ends up not wanting to eat with them. He ends up wanting to separate himself from them. It's very easy for us to point fingers at Peter and all these other guys, but this is the attitude kind of that we're talking about. That it takes, it's more than just the, oh, I realize it, and then we move on. It takes a little time for us to get it. It takes a little time for us to understand it. But throughout the book of Acts, you would not look at the book and say, wow, those group of men, they did just an awesome job of creating a church and doing all the things. What is it? What's the overwhelming theme of the book of Acts? God's working. God's power. Working through men like Peter. Working through men who were not perfect. Who didn't get it all the time. Who didn't see the way things should be all the time. Peter was definitely not perfect. Even after he became, you know, the Peter that we learn about in the book of Acts, who was vastly different than the Peter we learned about in the Gospels.
But they were willing and accepting of, when God did work, they took advantage of it. You know, that, I think that's our biggest flaw. God works in our lives all the time, but we're not seeing it and not taking advantage of it. When they were thrown in prison, they used it to the glory of God. When they went before the magistrate for preaching, they went and proclaimed his name. You know, every opportunity that came up, they utilized it. And I wonder how many opportunities we let go by that we don't use. They didn't miss it. You know, they realized. Now, if you get broke out of prison by an earthquake, it's pretty obvious. Right? But my inclination would have been out the door. Not to stay there and keep all the rest of the prisoners in jail.
Think about, as you look at the different events of the book of Acts, you know, you see God's hand, you see his power working. And one of my favorite stories of the book of Acts is Peter's thrown in prison. And the church gathers together for what purpose?
To pray
for his release. To pray that God will miraculously and powerfully work in some way. I don't know that they even had any clue, you know, how it would happen. But they're praying for his release. And what happened? He was miraculously released from prison. And he comes to the door and he knocks on the door where the Christians are. The little girl comes to the door and She's so excited that who's at the door? She runs back and she, who's at the door? Oh, it's Peter. Oh, yeah, right. Sure it is. Peter's in prison. She comes back. No, really, it's Peter at the door. He's still standing there, you know, waiting for him, waiting to get in. I'm sure he's hungry and, you know, ready to come in and meet with the brethren.
But they also thought he might have been killed by them. It's his ghost. Didn't they say it's...
It's his ghost.
So not only is he still...
It's kind of an odd thing, isn't it?
He's dead. They killed him.
That's true. That's sad.
The very thing that they were praying would happen, happened, and they were surprised. They didn't realize or didn't think. Is it possible they didn't think it would really happen? It's just too much to ask. It's way beyond anything that I can think or comprehend. But remember our verse from last week, with men, this is not possible, but with God, all things are possible. And I'm sure maybe in their mind that they thought that. But in actuality, in reality, I'm not sure that they had enough faith to know or to think that that would actually happen. And the reason is, it's not possible. Typically, the impossible, we just rule out, right? We just disregard because it cannot happen. How many things would we like to see accomplished in our own personal life, spiritually, and in other ways? But we think, well, this is not possible. How many things do we want to see happen in this community? But we think, oh, it's just impossible. Nobody listens to God anymore. Nobody cares about God anymore. Nobody cares about His Word. How many things would we like to see happen? Would we think, that would be so awesome, that would be so great, and we pray for it, we pray for it, we pray for it. We don't really have faith to think that it might actually happen. And the reason is because it will not happen if we're depending on our own power. It will not happen. Now, here's the question. Do we actually believe that God can accomplish the impossible today? So, well, that's in the New Testament. That's in the book of Acts. God worked different then. And here we get into a little bit of a murky road, right? When we start talking about what God accomplishes, how does God work today? Does He work the same? Does He have the same power, the same ability to work the impossible as He did that we read about in the book of Acts?
We'll see why not.
What do you think?
Saved all in an area. I don't know if it would spread as good, but once they started going out and telling others, it caught like wildfire.
Think about the verse again. Now to Him who is able to do above and beyond all that we think, all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in you. What's the weak link in that?
Us.
If I'm not willing to be the conduit God's power cannot work to its full extent because that's how he's chosen to work. According to the Apostle Paul, he works through us. Imagine this. Ultimate power. Everything, anything can be accomplished. Unsurpassed, unlimited resources and power is what God has. And he wants to use it. He wants to work it. He wants it to be unleashed upon the world. But how does he get there? Was. It's like, and I don't know that much about electric work. Okay, I've done a little bit of it, which is scary, but I don't know that much about it. Okay? You have all this power. If the link is not strong enough, then what happens? If you had a wire and it wasn't wired correctly, okay, you have all this power. You have it hooked up directly to the power station, and you don't hook it up correctly, and then you go to plug something in. What happens? Absolutely nothing. Right? Whose fault is that? Well, whoever wired it, right? But it's not the power that's the problem. There's abundance of power. It's the fact that the conduit may getting it to where it's supposed to be is not working correctly. What if you miswire it? Okay, it sends on fire, something blows up, you have all this power and you wire it correctly. What kind of, you use the wrong kind of wire? It's this link that's the problem. What happens if it's wired correctly? A very small conduit can provide an unlimited amount of power. Maybe not unlimited, but a lot, okay, of power. Will we ever unleash the entire power of what is existing over here? Is that possible? I don't know.
With enough little ones, I think if you you get enough little ones, it spreads out, a lot more than, if you have one little conduit hooked up to the light bulb, it'll give a light, but if you get a bunch of those little ones with a bunch of light bulbs, and you turn them all on, then it's going to be like, stadium lights.
Okay. What happens if, like on the other side of this wall, there's a panel, okay? And all the power from the outside, so it comes in from the street, right? It goes into this panel. The panel is split, right? It has all these different conduits that come. I think I explained this right. All these different conduits that come from the panel and go to the different. What if from the panel, every plug in this whole building was wired on the same wire? Jared goes to show a movie down in his classroom. He plugs in the TV. Okay. But what else happens? Okay, luckily we have a breaker where I can turn it back on. Every other plug in the whole building goes out. Right? If we were dependent on one power source coming in from the wall or whatever, not a good plan. That's why it's all split, right? That's why I have so much from the power station. Is there one wire going throughout all of Nashville that connects every electric plate thing in Nashville? I hope not.
Definitely not.
Because what happens? If that one fizzles, you're done. Think about the idea of God's power working through us. What if he was just dependent on Peter? Or what if he was just dependent on John? Or, what if he's dependent on his church as a whole to be that conduit of his power to the world? But yet, I'm not sure, number one, that we believe that we can do it. We can be that conduit. Number two, I'm not sure that we believe that his power can be unleashed upon the world beyond that what we think or ask. Let's look at a couple. Yes, Matt?
Well, I was just going to say, it's part of the problem is that we don't understand the power, and so we're a little afraid of the power, and therefore we don't make use of the power because we're unsure how the power works. You know, does that make sense?
Yeah. Anybody ever afraid to work with electric? To wire a plug? I believe that. I'm afraid for you too. No. You are afraid to?
Have you ever been afraid?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Why?
Because I know what it'll do to you. And when you get a whole lot of wires together, it's a little scary.
And actually, the more you know about it, the more you should be afraid of it.
That's right.
Because the more you understand what it can do to you, the more you respect it and you treat it with the way it should be treated. You don't know anything about it. You say, oh, I think I'm going to do this. You'll just jump right in there.
Well, if I'm going to use the power,
yeah,
I need to understand it. I need to take the time to learn about it in order to correctly use it. You know,
actually,
otherwise, I'm gonna be messing something up.
To work with
like myself.
I would say you can use the power and not understand it at all. But you don't use it to the fullest. You can't work with it. You can't do with any more than what's there. What someone else gave you, you can use without understanding it. But if you want to expand that electrical grid, you have to know what it works, how it works, and what it can do. Because it is a grid, like you were talking about. If it's one wire, it does nothing. But it's not. We know enough about power to say, one wire is not going to work. This whole city has to be connected in a grid. So if we have a failure in any one part, we can backfeed it from another part.
Okay, now you're losing something.
So we can open a switch here and feed it back the other direction.
Okay, how many of us, that's an awesome point, how many of us feel comfortable flipping on a light switch and the lights come on? Okay, how many of us say, hey, there's a plug. I can plug something into it.
Oh.
It works. Wow. Right? But what happens if I go to flip the light on and it doesn't go on? Bulb must be out. Well, what if I change the bulb and pull it? It's still on? Well,
call Rich.
Oh, well, I guess I'll just, as Jonathan and Jerry, when they were living together at Harding, what they decided to do was just live in the dark. Right?
Because he didn't pay the bill.
Well, okay. that's a whole other lesson right there. That's a whole other lesson.
But applicable.
Yeah. Let's not go there. We don't have enough time. But the point is, and I think that's a great point that you make, that the less we understand about it, the more afraid of it we are. And what's our inclination always when we're afraid of something? I'm just going to stay away from it. I'll allow those that know a little bit more about it. I'm not suggesting that we should just start, how does this work? And start pulling stuff out of the wall. Okay, don't do that. Don't do that, Jerry. Don't go home and try to figure out how everything works, okay, with your electric.
Yeah, I tried that with the garbage disposal, and it came back with a note.
Yeah. But the less, our typical response when there's something that we're afraid of is just to avoid it and leave it to the professionals. Right? Leave it to the professionals. And spiritually speaking, I'm afraid that's what we do so often. There are those that understand, quote unquote, that they understand things better, that may have a little bit better connection with God's power, and aren't afraid maybe to expand and to do a few more things, but I don't know how to do that. And so I'll just leave it to them. But the more conduits we have to the power, the more power is unleashed upon the world. And at some point, I've got to get over my fear of expanding my knowledge and maybe putting my hands on some things that I don't necessarily totally understand. And try to figure it out.
That's why you got a safety gear.
Yeah. Okay, that's another lesson. Then it's like a whole retreat right here.
I'm not exactly sure where we went there. I started thinking more electrical, and then I started coming back. You know, I mean, you're just talking about energy. And with that, like, the power of positive thinking, and, you know, just keeping your mind focused on what God wants from you. And just kind of like Matt said, you know, as human beings, I think we put limitations on what we understand or feel comfortable with because we don't
understand it or feel comfortable understanding all the power. And in doing so, we put limitations on ourselves of what we're capable to do for God's work.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I want to read just a couple quick verses before we quit. The first one is 1 Peter. Actually, it's not 1 Peter. 2 Peter. 2 Peter 1:3. And I'm just going to read these. Not really. I just want you to think about this, and just try to think about this in the context of what we've been discussing. It says, "For His divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. By these, He has given us very great and precious promises, so that through them you may share in the divine nature, escaping the corruption that is in the world because of evil desires." It says, how are we able to escape the corruption that's in the world? Is it by our own power? Often that's what we try to depend on, is our own power. But we have a conduit. We are to God. We're connected to Him. And it says, His divine power has given us everything we need. Not anything about ourselves. And the other passage is 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 9 and 10. Paul says, he's talking about his thorn in the flesh, his weaknesses. He says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Therefore, I will most gladly boast all the more about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may reside in me. So because of Christ, I am pleased in weakness, in insults, in catastrophes, in persecution, in pressures. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" And this goes back to the point that we made last week. And that is, only when I'm willing to admit my weaknesses, that is when God is able to work through me. It's when I say, I'm not able to do that. It's when I say, I can't accomplish that on my own. That is when God says, then I can work with you. Question that I want us to end with today. How different would your life be? How different would your life be tomorrow if today you found out Jesus Christ is not true? You found out that God does not exist. How different would your life be tomorrow? Most of us live our lives we would still, at this point, I wouldn't immediately go out and start stealing. I'd still live a moral life. That's who we've become, right? What difference does God's power actually make in your life?
I would have no hope.
Okay. It's true.
Like, what is there to lie? No.
That's true. That's a good point. But I think here's what I'm trying to say.
In the way you live your life.
Would I be any more powerful or less powerful tomorrow if I found out God doesn't exist? Are we taking full advantage of the power that God has and allowing Him to work through us to do things that seemingly are impossible? Okay, we have a bit. Got the old Morgan plan right there.
You want to see the impact. and does
I know up to my son.
That'd be different than we do here.
Hey Chris, can you sounds like put a this on the server?
I bet I can.
I heard a lot of those things. And when I'm thinking about power and electricity correlation, can we handle all of God's power? No, it'll burn us. That's why God said,
my face. And you're right. That's the way you like it. There's no good without the whole system.
Get it where it needs to be.
You can't put 25 megawatts in gallons.
I guess
everything will just get to your
everything else regulated.
That's been translated last night. We were over a switch.
Two nights ago.
Maybe we can grow
every single one.
Yeah, so you have no
that's what they were saying.
Maybe we grow as a lot. We only have so much running through a certain
yeah.
You don't stand by.
We grow.
You don't know.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Oh, you yeah. Won't get
it. Yeah.
Oh, actually, I've already sold. I've already sold.